Testing. Okay, great. Hi, everybody. So it's 1:30. We'll go ahead and get started. Thank you very much for coming today. My name is Chris. I'm a program manager with Microsoft on the application virtualization team. We're based out of the Boston, Massachusetts, USA office, so we're unique in that respect that we're with Microsoft, yet not out of Redmond. My email address is written clearly on the slide here. If there's any questions that you have for me about anything that I talk about today, that I don't get to or that you don't have a chance to find me after, feel free to shoot me an email. And so today we're going to talk about some challenges that administrators face deploying and managing server-based applications, and we're going to talk about some of the customer feedback that we get in that area about what the big pain points are, and then we're going to look at some ways to solve some of those problems and ways to ease some of that pain using System Center 2012 SP1 Virtual Machine Manager and Server App V. And so we're going to talk about a couple different things today. So in the context of Server App V, why would you want to virtualize an application? What are the benefits that you get when you package a server application as a Server App V package? Secondly, what kinds of apps should or can be virtualized? I'll talk a little bit about how Server App V is architected technically, and you'll have a really good idea about whether or not your server applications are good candidates for being virtualized with Server App V or not. And finally, we'll talk about how it all fits together with System Center Virtual Machine Manager. Server App V is a first-class citizen in Virtual Machine Manager. They're a main building block and component of service templates. And by using those two things together, you can really ease a lot of the different pains that come along with managing server applications and automate a lot of the very tedious steps. And so when we set out to develop and build Server App V, we talked to a lot of IT admins and application administrators, and we got a lot of their feedback, and we asked them what are the things that they deal with the most that are the worst parts of your job. And so we kind of gathered the top five issues, and we kind of paraphrased them here. And so this is what we hear from customers when we ask them what their experiences are like managing and deploying server applications. The first thing that we hear is that we have a 146-page application install guide. It just takes too long to install server applications. And, you know, that's 146 pages, not even, and probably multiple steps on the install per page. With that many numbers of steps that have to go correctly every single time, there's just a lot of possibility for error and a lot of different things that can go wrong. Secondly, very often administrators like to move the applications between different environments, staging, testing, and production. When these applications have multiple components and multiple tiers and multiple machines, there's just a lot of moving parts, and people are looking for a way to automate these kinds of things and make it easier to move from environment to environment. The next is about keeping applications and underlying server operating systems up to date. So if you've got an application that's been running for months or weeks or years, and you need to make an update to that application, or you need to make a patch onto the operating system that the application runs on, what are some strategies that you can use to maintain application uptime and to automate that and make that a much easier process? The next is, my company is moving quickly with virtualization, but we have all these apps installed natively. And so you may have an application running on Windows Server 2003 or 2008 Server R2, and you want to virtualize that application into a Server App V package in order to take advantage of some of the benefits of it that I will talk to you about later. Or maybe you just want to take the application that's been running on an old server and move it to a new server because you want to move to Windows Server 2012. With Server App V and Virtual Machine Manager, you can do that too. And the last one is, my app needs to be able to be scaled out, but it's never as easy as it should be. So you can write the most perfectly scalable application with an N-tier kind of architecture, but you know, there's always manual steps and manual processes involved in standing up the actual physical tiers, the virtual machines that you need to deploy those different layers onto. And so let me just get a show of hands. How many people here are familiar with the desktop app V that's on version 5.0 right now? Okay, so a good amount of people. So a lot of the concepts around Server App V and virtualizing applications with Server App V are very similar to desktop App V. How many people here use Virtual Machine Manager in any way? Okay, and how many people use service templates with Virtual Machine Manager? Okay, slightly fewer. And how many people here are familiar at all with Server App V? Okay, a couple people. All right, just wanted to kind of get some context here to level set the conversation. And so all of these things that we hear from customers feed into the Server App V mission statement, which is that we want to dramatically simplify the deployment and management of data center applications by making it consistent, by making it predictable, and without requiring you to have to rewrite or change your applications in any way. So that was kind of our guiding principle for developing Server App V and the integration with Virtual Machine Manager. So why virtualize applications? What are the benefits of putting your application into a Server App V package? Number one is that you can vastly simplify deployment. If you have this multiple 100-page install guide that I talked about a little bit earlier, when you make an application into a virtual package, you only need to run through that install process one time during the packaging process. After that, what you get as a result of that process is a package that is essentially the compiled end result of the installation. There's three different artifacts you need to deploy to a server, and they can be deployed using PowerShell, using Xcopy, or orchestrated with Virtual Machine Manager. Vastly simplifies deployment and reduces the amount of time that it takes to install server applications. Secondly, when used together with Virtual Machine Manager and service templates, you really can achieve very robust orchestration of your application and virtual machine deployment. If your application has multiple tiers that may require a SQL Server data tier, or a web tier, or an application tier, or N tiers for scale-out kind of capabilities, you can use Virtual Machine Manager and Server App V virtual application packages to orchestrate and automate this deployment in a very, very nice way. Next is physical to virtual migration, and this covers applications that are installed physically on physical hardware when you want to move these applications off those machines onto virtual machines in the cloud, or just the desire to migrate applications across operating systems. And lastly, cross-machine migration. I touched on that a little bit earlier. When you have an application that is packaged with Server App V, the servicing process is very easy, and it makes it possible to patch the underlying operating system or the application itself in a very automated way. And so these are the core benefits of virtualizing applications. Throughout the course of this talk, I'll show you a demo for each of those five pain points that I talked about earlier, using Server App V, using PowerShell, and then using Virtual Machine Manager. So you should have a pretty good idea about how it all fits together and how it can help you out in your real world. And so Server App V is part of Virtual Machine Manager. You find Server App V if you have a VMM license. You find Server App V on the VMM install media. And application packages are first-class citizens in the VMM library. So you package an application, you put it in the library, and it appears in the VMM library, and you can use those building blocks to build very sophisticated service templates to automate a lot of your processes. And as I mentioned before, once you have an application packaged into a virtual package, it enables a number of different features, especially with Virtual Machine Manager. Number one, image-based servicing. And what that means is the ability to take a running application off of a server, lift it up with all of its state information, and move it to a new machine, most often to a new machine with a patched operating system. Easy to upgrade applications, and also scale out with a couple clicks. I'll show you demonstrations of that a little bit later in this presentation. The key message here is that Server App V has its own set of capabilities, but when used together with System Center Virtual Machine Manager, it's much better. And so for anybody who's familiar with Server App V from the beginning, I wanted to take a little bit of time and talk about some of the things that we did in Service Pack 1, improvements to Server App V that we made. Number one, we're always working on better app compat, and this is basically strengthening the Server App V platform so that more kinds of applications are supported and more operating system subsystems are available for virtualization. And so two of the things that we did are, number one, added support for apps that create scheduled tasks as part of their install process, and of course we added Windows Server 2012 support in SP1. One of the larger features was that we added the capability to sequence and capture SQL Server databases. And what this means is that if your server application install process connects to a SQL Server database and creates a table and populates those tables with data that are required for your application to run, the packaging process, the sequencer, will recognize those and will extract those from the SQL Server database, and you can use those artifacts to put together a service template which will stand up your SQL Server layer and your application layer as part of the same process. I'll show you a specific demo of that later. And finally, we released a remote application packaging toolkit. And what that is the ability to point this toolkit at a machine where an application is installed natively and pull that application off of the remote machine into an application package. I'll show you an example of that. What that does is it lets you pull natively installed apps off of machines and move them between operating systems. And that's a free download. And so I'll take a little bit of time to talk about how Server App V actually works. So there's a number of main kind of areas that you need to think about when thinking about Server App V. Number one is the concept of packaging. And this is the act of taking an application and getting that application into a virtual application package. And there's two different ways to do that with Server App V. Number one, there's the conventional, what we call the sequencing process. And for anybody who's familiar with desktop app V, you're probably already familiar with what sequencing means. I'll show you a demo of this in a second. But what that really means is you run through your application's install process one time while running this sequencer tool. The sequencer tool monitors and understands everything that's going on during this application installation, compiles that into a virtual application package. That's kind of the conventional way of creating a package. Secondly, there's the remote application packaging approach, which I mentioned one slide prior. That's taking the tool, pointing it at a machine, saying, selecting the applications off that machine that you want, and pulling them across the wire into a virtual package. Once you have an application packaged into a virtual application package, then you need to be able to deploy it. And so on the machine that you want to deploy the package, there needs to be running the Server App V agent, which understands how to run the package. It's kind of the package runtime. And once that's on the client machine, you can deploy applications in two different ways. Number one, through Virtual Machine Manager using service templates in a very automated way. And secondly, through PowerShell. So you can copy the package using xcopy, issue a couple simple PowerShell commands, and that essentially is your deployment process once you have the application packaged into a package. The next thing we have that's important to mention is deployment-specific configuration. When you are packaging an application, there's often lots of different configuration kind of values and settings that go along with it. And we're talking here about, you know, connection strings, file paths, URLs, things that go in web.config files, things that get stored in registry settings, things get stored in .ini files. The Server App V sequencer and packaging process recognizes what those things are and separates them out from the package. And what that means for you guys is that it lets you tailor these configuration values specifically for your individual environment. So you deploy your package and your application to testing, it may require one specific connection string. You deploy it to production, requires a different connection string. You can automate automate changing those values so that you get a deployment tailored for your specific environment. And finally, state separation. When an application is running virtually in the Server App V agent runtime, all the while that application is running, Server App V is storing and monitoring that application's state. And what that means is if there are things that are happening on that server, like configuration drift or files being written to the file system or registry changes being made, when you go to move that application to a different server, all that stuff goes with it. It's literally possible to take an application off the server, lift it up, move it, put it down, and it has all the same kind of, you know, state that it had before. And that's great for app portability. So what kinds of applications can be virtualized? And so the way we like to think about Server App V is not to say, you know, we don't provide a whitelist of applications saying these are the specific applications that we support. Rather, we like to talk about Server App V in the context of being a platform. We build support for specific parts of the Windows operating system that applications are built on top of. And so if your server application takes advantage or runs on any of these operating system subsystems, then we say it's a good candidate for virtualization. And so if your application is a Windows service or has Windows services in it or is an IIS application or is a combination of the two, we have full support for that. If there are any special resources that your application uses or creates during the install process, like users or groups, COM objects, you know, obviously writes to the file system, registry, scheduled tasks, we recognize that and make those part of the package as well. And finally, in terms of data and configuration, I mentioned earlier the SQL Server database detection that we just added in SP1, and also the deployment-specific configuration files. I'll show you examples of all this stuff a little bit later. And so this is kind of a graphical representation of the packaging process, and this is the kind of shows what sequencing really is. And so you take your server application, and which is run on one of these operating system subsystems, and you run through the install process with a sequencer session running. And at the end of that sequencing process, what you get is essentially three important artifacts. You get a package file, which is the kind of compiled output of the installation. You get a manifest, which contains some metadata that VMM needs to understand what to do with the package. And you get a separate configuration file. And this is the file that contains all the different configuration values that you'll set individually per deployment. All these things together get copied to a machine, deployed with PowerShell or with VMM, and that's the what you do to get your applications up and running after they've been packaged with Server App V. Here's kind of a graphical description of what we mean by declarative instance-specific configuration. You can take the manifest and the package file, change the configuration file, like I said, connection strings, file paths, things that are unique to your environment, and deploy them to different agents on different machines and have a deployment tailored to your environment. And so I've talked a little bit about what Server App V is and the different parts, and so we'll get into the demos now. And the first one I'll talk about is my team tells me we have a 146-page application install guide. And so what I'm going to show you is the basic sequencing process. I'm going to take an application which has admittedly a much smaller amount of steps, run through the entire process, get the package out the other end, show you some of the configuration things, and then we'll use it. And so let me switch over here. And so the application that I'm going to show sequencing is the desktop AppV product, as you may be aware, has a server infrastructure piece. So there's a piece that runs on a server that helps manage the individual packages that get sent out to the users for virtualizing desktop applications. So what I'm going to show is virtualizing the server portion, the server application portion of the application virtualization server. And so I've got a bunch of virtual machines here running in VMM. And so I'll open up one of the machines here. And I'm going to use this machine to sequence the AppV server. So best practice for sequencing is to make sure you start off with as clean of a machine as possible. Because the sequencing process kind of monitors and detects what happens on the operating system while you're doing the install, you want to avoid having other applications running. You want to avoid having background processes running as much as possible. Anything that could be touching or doing things to the system, you want to minimize it to maximize the potential to have a clean package in the end. And so what I'll show here is that basic process. And I'll start by pointing out here's my installer for the application that I'm trying to virtualize. And so the first thing I'll do is start up the Server App V sequencer. And once this starts up, we'll get a screen here. So you've got a couple different options. Number one, create a new virtual application package. That's what we'll do right now because we're starting from scratch. And secondly is modify an existing virtual application package. And this is if you have an existing package and you want to create a V2 of it because you have a patch or you have an update. So we'll go to create a new package. And so the first screen you see here is some information about the machine, about the operating system. And like I said before, it's a best practice to minimize what's going on. And so I get a couple warnings here. Number one, antivirus software is running. And so that can cause things going on in the background. And the SMS agent is running also. So what I have here is a very simple script that just kind of runs and issues some commands and stops some of the background services that I know that are running on my server 2012 that could be doing things in the background and touching the file system. So I'll go ahead and just run this. And it'll just shut down some things here. And then when I refresh, this goes away. Okay, so I've shut down that. I can't disable antivirus on this particular machine, but I know that this doesn't cause a problem with this particular issue, with this particular demo. And next, you have an option for selecting the installer to use for the application. So if your application is install process is kind of localized all inside of one MSI or an EXE, you can specify that here. Or if your installation process is manual and you have to manually copy files, manually edit configuration values, create folders, and so forth, you can click this and perform a custom installation. It still monitors everything. It just doesn't automatically invoke that installer for you. In this case, since we have an EXE for the installer, I will click Browse and select it from the desktop. Here we go, AppV server. And click Next. And so now it's asking us to give it a kind of a logical name for the package, and I'll call it AppV server Madrid June 25th. And then what you see here is with this directory here is they call the primary virtual application directory. So it's a best practice when sequencing to always try to install as many files as you can into this location that the sequencer gives you. The sequencer monitors all file system operations that happen inside this special Q drive that gets created when the sequencer is installed, and also a number of well-known places in the operating system like program files and Windows, the Windows folder, and so forth. But as a best practice, anytime the installer would ask you, hey, where do you want to install these files, try to use this Q drive. And so I'll copy this now because I know we'll need that later. And so the sequencer now is just kind of starting up the virtual environment, inserting hooks into some of the things that are going on in the OS, and getting ready to monitor what happens in this installation. This takes just a second to start up. And once it does finish up, it should automatically invoke that exe that we gave it earlier, too. All right, so once this starts up and once it invokes the installer that we're going to use, then basically the entire rest of the install process is installing the application just as you would install it outside the sequencer anyway. So the server IP sequencer will kind of kick over control back to the installer, and we'll run through that install process. So there we go. Complete the application installers before continuing. So we can go ahead and minimize this. And you can see that it invoked that exe that we gave it. And so this particular application that we're virtualizing here for this demo has a number of different components to it. If you're familiar with AppV Server, you're probably familiar with this. So we'll accept the terms. And so there's a number of different things you can select. So there's a management server aspect to it. There's a backing SQL Server database that holds metadata about this server. There's a publishing server and then some reporting servers. For this particular demo, we'll install the management server itself, which is a managed IIS application. And we'll also create the database so that we can show you how the SQL Server detection tool works. So this will create some IIS applications. It will drop a bunch of files. It will connect to a SQL Server database, create a database in it, populate that with some data, and that's the installation process for this server application. So here we have the installer asking, where do you want to install the files to? And like I said before, let's take this out and paste in our Q drive path here. And go next. And so I have a blank SQL Server installed on this machine. So this installer will install the database onto the local SQL Server. And then later, it will pull those things out of the SQL Server, and we'll use them in a service template. So I'll leave these as all the default settings. Again, these can remain the default. And the next page will ask me a couple of different things that I need to put down in here. So right now, it's connecting to the SQL Server and making sure that it's there. And here we go. Okay, so now this particular application needs an Active Directory name to be the administrator. And I'll just put in a domain account that we use for testing. And then some other configuration values about the website. For example, you can name it. You can name the website whatever you like, and you can specify the port binding. I'll put 8080. And we'll go next. And I believe that's the last thing it asks for. Ready for installation and install. So this takes just a minute to finish up. So it's creating the website, creating the SQL Server database. And then once this is done, it says it has been completed successfully. We can close this. And now we can return to the server AppV sequencer and say, yep, I'm finished installing everything, and then go next. So this takes about a minute 10 while the sequencer kind of looks at the system, determines what was done to it during that installation. I could take a question now while we're waiting for this to finish up, if anybody has anything they'd like to ask me now. Sir? So the question was, is server AppV based on AppV 4546? And the answer is yes. I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you. Could you speak up a tiny bit? So the question was, are there plans to upgrade Server App V to be based on 5.0? And the answer is not yet. We're kind of waiting to hear customer feedback on that. You are correct that this is based on 4.5, 4.6, based on the way that the release timelines worked out. That's happened just to be the way that we had to do it. If we hear customer feedback that you really need the 5.0 features, we would absolutely consider that, but there's no plans at this time. And anybody who's an App V person would probably the Q drive is what tipped you off to that, right? Yeah, I see a lot of nodding heads. All right, so here we go. So if your application install creates any kinds of shortcuts or things that you may have to run in order to configure that application on first run, you have an opportunity to run them here. This particular application doesn't require any of that, so I know we can just click next. This takes only a couple seconds, much less than the last phase did. And once this is done, we'll see a report here. And so here's some information about the packaging process. Number one, we have that warning again about antivirus, although I know that we can ignore that. There are some files that get dropped during installations that the sequencer just ignores because we know they're not that important. And you can see the list of them here. For example, temp files, back files, things that typically log files, things that don't necessarily have to be part of the package. If the sequencer excluded something by mistake that you actually need, you have the opportunity to go back and add those back in. Here's an information warning here that the install required a reboot, but the sequencer kind of grabs that reboot and kind of squelches it. And next is an advisory here. Hey, we realized that the install process connected to a SQL server and created some stuff. We also generated and extracted some SQL artifacts as well. I'll show you that in a bit. So we can hit close. And now what you see here is a report screen kind of all about what happened here. So you've got these are the values here that the server app fee automatically detects as deployment configuration values that it thinks that you may want to change per environment, per deployment. And so you see things here like the 8080 that we supplied on the port. And opportunity to put some SQL Server names in here as well. If Server App V doesn't detect the things automatically that you want to be configuration values, you can add them manually. In this case, I know that I need to change the connection string for this database when I deploy it, so I'll go and add that. Click Add Deployment Item. And I know the registry key for the connection string starts with this, so I'll do a search. And here it is, management SQL connection string. So I'll click add. And so what this does is it says, extract this from the package and make it part of the deployment configuration file so that you have an opportunity to change this value before you deploy it. What else happened here? All right, we can take a look here and we can see, okay, this application consists of one IIS website, no virtual services. You can examine the files if you wish in the registry. We don't need to do that right now. So at the end, we'll just go to save. And I'll save this onto my desktop. I'll create a folder here. Call it this. What happened to it? I think I've saved it to the wrong folder. Let me just save it one more time. Desktop. There it is. Okay, so now we have our package. And so let me just point some things out to you here. So what you see here is the package file itself, the SFT, the manifest, and the deployment configuration file. And also in the SQL components folder, you've got a couple different things. Number one, you've got a SQL Server DAC pack file. And what that is the kind of the data definition, the table structure for the SQL Server database that got created, and then a T-SQL script, which contains all the data that got inserted into that database as well. So when you build your service template, which I'll show you later, you can take these and put these into the SQL tier deployment step and stand up and populate your database prior to getting your server application tier up and running. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll take this package and I'll save it into the virtual machine manager library so that we can use it later. Save it under apps. And make sure it got there. And it's there. Okay, we'll come back to that later. And so some real quick takeaways from this demo are that you know, I showed you the sequencing process, demonstrated kind of what needs to happen during that, showed you how to manage the configuration files, how you can add things that the sequencer misses that you may need to be deployed in your initial specific environment, and I'll show you deployment. So the next thing is my company is moving quickly with virtualization, but we have all these apps installed natively. And so what I'm going to show you now is the remote application packaging tool. And so what we have here is I have a virtual machine running here, and I've got an application running on this machine, and it is a what I've got is a blog, your kind of run-of-the-mill blog server application. This has PHP, MySQL service, and an Apache service, and all those things together kind of make up the blog application. And so I'll just show you it running here. And I've got this application installed on this 2008 R2 server natively, so it's not running virtually. And what I want to do is I want to move this to a Windows Server 2012 server. So what I'm going to show is using the remote application packager tool, pulling this machine off, packaging it, and then moving it to a 2012 server. First, I'll just point out what the application actually looks like. I've got it running locally here. Host. So once this runs, okay, so yeah, so this is the blog application running here. So this is the just your run-of-the-mill PHP blog application. It's got a couple different, you know, threads going on here. Sorry, not blog, forum. That's a better way to put it. And so this is the application that I want to package. So this is the machine where I have it running natively. And so I have another machine here that I'm going to use as my sequencing station. And so I have a 2008 R2 machine here. And I'll start the process basically the same way that I started the conventional sequencing, by starting the server app sequencer. So it's a best practice when you're remotely packaging an application to make sure that the machine that you're sequencing it from is as close as possible to the configuration of the machine where the application is running natively. So I mentioned the scenario that I'm showing here is I'm going to move the app eventually to Windows 2012, but in terms of sequencing, I'm on a 2008 R2 machine because that's what I have the application installed to natively. We'll create a new package. We'll go ahead and run this script again to stop some of these background services. And I'll point out some things that are in this advisory page here. And basically, these are warnings that say, in order to get the SQL Server to detection and extraction, you need to install some things from the SQL Server feature pack. And this is basically saying, hey, we don't have these things installed in this machine. If your installer creates a SQL Server, we're not going to be able to detect it. That's okay for this, because I know this particular demo doesn't require it, but it would show you how to download those things. And so in this case, we don't have an EXE or an MSI because the application's already installed. So we'll go perform a custom installation. We'll call this PHPBB. And we'll wait for this to start up. And so once this starts up the monitoring session here, we'll go run the separate tool, the remote application packager, and we will pull the application off that machine. There we go, almost ready. any second now. Here we go. So it says, now install your applications. So what I'll do now is I'll go and run the Server App V Remote Application Packager, which, as I mentioned, is a separate free download off the Download Center. And the first thing it's going to ask is the target server. So now I'm going to point it to the machine where I have that that form application running natively. And that server is called phpbbnative2, and click refresh. And so what this is doing now is it's contacting that remote machine, and the way this works is that it's querying basically add remove programs to see what kinds of things are installed there. And here we get this back here. So we've got three things installed on that machine that make up that application: PHP, MySQL, and Apache. When we query the add remove programs, we recognize that those are there, and this gives us an opportunity to pick what we want. And so I know that this application requires these three things, so I'll choose all three and click start. And so this process takes a bit of time. It takes about 14 minutes to run. We're not going to sit through the entire thing, but I will show you the end result. And so what I've done here is I have a clean machine running Windows Server 2012. And on this machine, I have installed two things: the Server App V agent for managing the runtime of running of Server App V packages, and also the Server App V agent PowerShell scripts, so I can show you what the deployment process is like using PowerShell. And so first thing I'll point out here is that I've already taken a remotely packaged package and moved it to my hard disk here under the TechEd 2013 folder. And so here's the package files. And if I go here and open up localhost, you know, there's nothing running on this machine. There's nothing listening for anything here. We'll get back an error. And if you look at the local services on this machine, we've got no Apache. We have no MySQL and so forth. And so what does the PowerShell deployment process look like? First thing you need to do is import the Server App V module. So that's the Server App V agent. And then the next thing you do is you call an add Server App V package PowerShell command. And the first thing you do is give it a name, and you give it a path to the SFT file. Give it a path to the manifest. And then finally, a path to the configuration file. And so there we have it. Let me just review this. So there's our logical name, path to the SFT, path to the manifest, and then a path to configuration. And we'll click add. And so when the package gets added, what's actually happening? So it's examining the package, determining what files are in it, applying those changes to the file system, applying the registry changes into the virtual registry, creating any local services that may be part of this application, creating IIS websites, and basically laying down the end result of the installation onto the server operating system. This doesn't take too long. And so once this is done adding, I'll pull back up the services list here and show you that the services were created. Here we go. And if I go refresh, so now we have Apache. And if we look down here, we also have MySQL. So this application is based on two Windows services. Next thing we can do is start Server API package, and that starts up those services that we just installed. Give it the same logical name that we gave it before, phpbb. And once that's started, we can refresh this page and realize that the application is installed now. And so this is the application deployed using Server App V. So now this application is packaged virtually. It's running on this machine in the Server App V agent, and it has all the same state that this machine, that the application had when it was packaged off of the original machine. And so some takeaways from this are that you can use remote application packaging to turn natively installed applications into virtual application packages in order to use them inside of Virtual Machine Manager. Reinstallation of an application is not required. We do hear from some people that, you know, they have these complex server applications installed. They've lost their application install guides. And the person who knew how to install it has left the company. In this case, it's really easy to package these applications without having to have those manuals. And it's a good way to move apps from old to new operating systems. And so the demo I showed you moved an application from 2008 R2 to Server 2012. One important thing I do want to mention about that is that Server App V is kind of a tool to help you move applications, but it is not an OS compatibility tool. And what I mean by that is, if the application that you're virtualizing wouldn't have run on Windows Server 2012 anyway, Server App V isn't going to help that to happen. So the reason this particular demo worked is because this blog application is equally supported on 2012, just as it is on Windows Server 2008 R2. And so you can use Server App V to get the portability, but it doesn't. But not for compatibility. So it's an important point to make. And the next thing I'll show is an example of service templates. And so this is what we hear about applications that have multiple tiers, multiple different kinds of machines that need to all work in concert together. Moving them and deploying them between production environments is often very time-consuming and error-prone. And so if you're familiar with VMM service templates, what I have here running is basically the service template for the first application that I sequenced, and that's the AppV server piece. And so this application has a number of different tiers. Number one, it has an application tier, where the IIS website runs, and it has a SQL tier where those SQL artifacts are deployed to here. So let me show you the service template behind this. And this is the one that I have here. So the way that I have this configured is that, again, this application has two tiers. It has an application tier where the application is actually running, and a SQL Server tier. So there's two ways to do SQL Server tiers in Virtual Machine Manager. Number one, you could, if you don't have an existing SQL Server instance that you want to deploy these database objects to, you can use a sysprepped version of SQL Server inside of a service template, and as part of the deployment, VMM will create and install and configure a brand new SQL Server instance for you. Or if you have an existing SQL Server that you just want to take the database artifacts and deploy them to because you've already got it running, you can do that too. And it's the latter example that I use here in this demo. And so what I've done here is I've created a SQL Server app host, and you put the name of the SQL Server here, SAV-SQL, and then these two things here are the two artifacts that were created during the sequencing process. And I'll show you what I mean. So what this is basically saying is when you deploy the SQL Server tier, do all the work on the server SAV-SQL and do the following things. Number one, take this DAC pack, this database metadata and table structure that the sequencer created, deploy that to the database. And then after that's done, run this T-SQL script to populate it with data. And so the way that this works is that when you do the sequencing, you would take the SQL Server files that were part of the package, put those into the VMM library along with the application, and then once those files are in the library, you can choose them using this chooser tool here. So what you would do is click Browse, find the DAC pack that came out of that package that you created, and select it, and you give it a name. So this is the name of the database on the database server that it's working with. So it's creating a database called AppV Management. You specify the credentials you want that operation to run under. And then you add the SQL Server script, too, to populate the data. So the DAC packs are just empty database structure. Then you need to also have it run the scripts in order to populate that database with data. And so what's done here is that you create a post-install script, meaning run this script after the DAC pack has been deployed, obviously. And then you choose the SQL Server script also from the VMM library, just the same way that the DAC pack is chosen. Also, you specify the credentials, and then when this runs, it deploys the DAC pack and then executes the scripts. Now, the way this works is that obviously the SQL Server database needs to be there first before the application tier gets up and running. So you specify that in the deployment order here. So if I select the SQL Server tier, you can see application deployment order number 1. And when I select the application tier here, application deployment order number 2. That means when you go to deploy this service, it'll do the SQL tier first and then create the tier for the application. So how do you configure the application? What I will point out here is that this orange kind of ball icon represents the server at the packages in the VMM world. So anytime you see that, you're working with a server at the virtual application package. So when I open up this tier, you know, I won't get into the details of VMM service templates, but you know, you can configure everything about this operating system and hardware that you want to here. But the interesting part here is under application configuration. And so once this application is in the library, you basically go to add virtual application here, choose it from the library, and then it appears here. VMM parses the deployment configuration file and shows you the deployment configuration items in this grid here. Okay, so if you remember correctly, there were a bunch of different deployment items in the deployment config, and here's where you have a chance to specify them before deployment here with VMM. One thing you can also do here is you can create variables here so that when you go to actually deploy it at deployment time rather than definition time here, you can specify unique things like your connection string or your credentials or your ports. So in order for the server at the package to run on the operating system that being established during this tier, you need to make sure that the agent is installed first. And that's what this pre-install script is here. So what you need to do is out of the box, VMM provides a number of pre-defined script resource packages. And what these basically are a set of payloads and a set of scripts that come out of the box that will run on the machine prior to application deployment. So what you would do is you would choose the one for server at V, depending on whether or not you're running it on an x86 or an x64 operating system. And you would say, run that as a pre-install script. And what that means is, before you deploy this application package to the machine, run this script prior to deploying the package, and that script installs the server at V agent so that the package has somewhere to install to. And this is the screen where you would do that. And the values here are very similar to the ones on the SQL Server about, you know, selecting what credentials you want to run under and a few other things here, how to handle errors in the script and so forth. Once this is all set up to run, deployment can be done using this button here. And the deployment takes quite some time, so I'm not going to show you deployment since I already have one deployed. But essentially, that's how you can configure all of the different artifacts that come out of a conventional sequencing session in Virtual Machine Manager. In a way to get your application up and running. And so the takeaways from what I just showed you here are that it's possible to orchestrate very cleanly multiple tiers with VMM. You've got very flexible options to deploy your application the right way, to make sure the right tiers get set up first, to make sure the right applications and the right services are running in the order that they need to be for your particular application. Also, I showed you that the SQL Server artifacts that the sequencer created become part of the deployment. So you can use those things that the sequencer creates to stand up the SQL tier, and that's the DAC packs and the T-SQL scripts. And the next demo I'll show has to do with updating applications and or underlying server OSs. And so, going back to the virtual machines here, this is, again, is the service that the AppV management service that I have running. And the scenario here is that I've got this application running, and this particular server is running an older beta version of the AppV server. So we'll check this here. And it says version 5.0.129. And so I've gotten the one that we sequenced earlier, the first demo that I showed you, is an updated version of this application. And so what I'm going to show you now is creating a new service template, building a new service template with the updated version of this application, then deploying that update onto this running server in order to get the most recent version. So you can see here that this service is running as AppV5.0 template, AppV5.0 management server Beta 2 Windows Server 2012. So it's running the Beta 2 version of this server application. We want to update that to RTM. We'll go back to the library here. And first thing I want to do is make sure that the application that we put into the library is actually there. So we'll go here and hit refresh. Usually this takes about 5 to 10 seconds before we'll see it pop up. There it is. So this is the one that we put there after we sequenced that first application. And so that's good. So we'll go back to service templates here. And so this is the template that I just pointed out that service is running under. And so what we want to do is we want to create a copy of the service template with the updated application and then apply the new service template to that running service in order to get the application upgraded. So what you do in this case is right-click and hit copy. And VMM will create a copy of this here. And so now we can open it up. And so since it's a copy, we have the old beta 2 version of the application here. And we know what we want to do is we want to leave everything else the same. We just want to swap out the virtual application package that is running on that machine. So we'll go down to application configuration. And so we see here it's the beta 2. And we'll swap that for the one that we just created. This one here, June 25th. Swap in the new value. Change some stuff here. And so remember before I added the SQL Server connection string, so I need to update that to make sure it points to the right database. So the database is sav-sql. The initial catalog is app view management. And I'm going to specify credentials here instead of using integrated security. Let's use the SA account. All right. And so we've done that. Swapped in the new package. And so we have that here. And that's the only thing that we need to change. I'll save that. And then close it. And so now, one more thing I wanted to do actually was change the version number here. So we'll just change this here to a friendlier name. So we could call this version of the template we created, RTM Tech Ed Madrid. And then save it one more time. And so now that appears here. So we've got the brand new service template. Again, the only difference is the version of the package that we have running here. And let me check one more thing. We'll just make sure that the script settings are correct. So nothing should need to change here, except I'll uncheck this. So you've got a number of different values here for configuring the script. I'll just unclick the thing that says restart, because we don't need the machine to restart. Everything else looks good. And then so we've got this in the library. And in order to upgrade the machine, we need to right-click here and choose Set Template. And so you've got a couple different options here. The first is to modify any settings that may exist for this particular template. We don't have any that we need to change right now. What we do want to do is replace the current template version beta 2, with the new template version RTM that we just created. So we'll pick that here. The RTM Tech Ed Madrid, and go next. There's no specific values to set here, so that's okay. And so now you've got two options here that VMM gives you. Number one, you can apply updates to the existing virtual machine in place. What that means is that it'll just copy the package to the machine that's already running and deploy that package and start it. And your second option is deploy a new virtual machine with updated settings. And this is what they call image-based servicing. If you wanted to take your application and move it to a brand new or a patched operating system, you would use this setting here to spin up a brand new tier, deploy a fresh operating system onto it, copy the package to it, and then deploy it in this way. This takes a bit of time because it involves setting up a brand new machine, so we'll just do apply updates in place. Here, VMM will give you a summary of what it's going to do. So number one, it's going to uninstall an application here, uninstall the beta 2 version, and install the Madrid June 25th version. So that's exactly what we want. And we will choose to apply these updates to the service immediately. Click Next, click Finish. So this operation takes a minute or two while it copies over the new application, virtual application package file, and then deploys it onto that machine. So once this is done, we should be able to pull up that machine again and refresh and have the updated version of the application up and running on this. This takes just a minute. I could take a question if anybody's got a question they'd like to ask. Sir? So the question is, while the package is being copied over to the host, is the service still running? In this particular case, the answer is no, because I have a very simple demo set up here. What you can do with VMM is you can set up upgrade domains if you have multiple tiers, and so you can specify, you know, how you want that servicing process to happen in order to keep the service available. So again, yes, possible with VMM. In this particular demo, no. And so here we go. It says the job is completed. It's now running this updated version of the template. So now if I reconnect to this machine and reload this page, the AppV server application should come back up, and we can click the About button. That's asking me for credentials. It does this when I forget to close IE. Here we go. So the application is clearly up and running now that we have this. And click About, and we can see that it's been upgraded to the latest version. So this is a very easy way to apply application upgrades. If perchance there was some sort of mistake, the updated version that you got from your, you know, sequencing person was wrong, undoing this and going back to the old version is as simple as doing exactly the same thing, just in reverse. You can apply the old version of the template. It'll just remove the new application package, copy over the old one, and then do exactly the same thing. And so the takeaways from this particular demo are that you can do in-place upgrades with the service running and not deploying a new operating system, or you can do image-based servicing if what you want to do is move the machine and its state onto a fully patched operating system disk. And the app state separation is what allows that to happen. And the last thing I'll show is a demo around applications being needed to be scaled out. With VMM, once you have an application in a virtual application package, scaling out an application is very easy. And so the way that this particular application is architected, the AppV server, is that you've got a single management server, then you've got n number of publishing servers that kind of talk to that management server. And the publishing nodes are used for scale and for distribution. If you recall, in the first demo, we sequenced only the management server aspect of it, and we did not choose to sequence the publishing server. In this particular example, what I've done is I've sequenced the management server in one package and the publishing server in another package, and then created those on separate application tiers. I'll show you what I mean. And so I've got a service template here called AppV5O Management and Publishing. When I open this, you can see this has now three tiers. So the SQL Server tier here and the Management Server tier here are exactly the same as what I showed you before. There's no change there. The only difference is now we've added a Publishing Server tier. And in this tier is running a virtual application package where I've sequenced just the Publishing Server aspect of the AppV server. And so if you look down here, the unique thing about this is that I have selected here, this computer tier can be scaled out. And what that means is that once this service is up and running, if you need to create and spin up a brand new node of this, you just need to basically right-click and click Scale Out. And you can specify a number of different things here, like how many instances you want by default, what are the maximum number of scale instances that you want to be able to provide, and that's really about it. And so when you go to deploy this application, it will, again, it'll create the SQL Server database, spin up this tier for management server, and then spin up however many instances of the scale node that you choose. The way this looks when running is like this. And so this is a deployment of that service that I just showed you. And so what you see here are the two tiers, or the three tiers that I've defined. Here's the management server tier, again, which has one virtual machine running this virtual application package. And then you've got the publishing server tier. And in this case, I've scaled it out to two nodes, each of those machines running the virtual app v publishing server. So I want to scale this node out one more. Right click, click scale out. And so you've got a couple different options here. And so you choose the tier you want to scale out. And yes, I want to scale out the publishing server app tier. Click next. It's asking you names about the things about the virtual machine. In this case, we can just leave these blank because it'll automatically generate a name. VMM has some intelligence around what the best Hyper-V host is to create these machines on. In this particular environment, I only have one, so it picks it. So here, it automatically generated an automatic name for the machine at vpub03 incrementally. And then we'll say, yes, turn this on when we're done deploying it. And then we'll click scale out. This takes a bit of time, but essentially what's happening is it's creating a new virtual machine, deploying and configuring the operating system, copying the virtual application package to it, and then starting it up. And just like that, you have a new scale node set up for this machine. So the takeaways here are that scale out is easy when you configure it to work with service templates. And also, in designing a good service template, you really need to consider the characteristics of your application. Does it need a SQL Server database? Do you have a SQL Server database existing, or do you need to create a new one? And, you know, for example, the application that I showed has a number of different publishing tiers. They all need to point back to the management tier, so you need to think about how you configure those machines to talk to each other, what values do you need in your deployment configuration, and so forth. And so this is just a recap about why you would want to virtualize applications. I certainly hope that the demos that I've showed and the slides that I've showed help to answer this question for you. I won't go through these points again specifically since I already talked about them, but I think I showed examples of all of these. And so we have about 15 minutes, 10-15 minutes for questions if anybody has anything they'd like to ask. Sir? The question is, can you scale back? The answer is yes. They call it scale in. And so let me try to remember where it is. There's really no built-in way to do that, but that's done by basically just deleting the specific tier. So if I powered off this machine and then deleted it, I've effectively scaled it in. I'm sorry, can you speak up?
So when you actually delete the actual service tier, is there anything delete the user object you have to
draw? So when you delete, the question is when you delete this?
When you delete, say, for example, your service template and mm-hmm. you've got the generated computer names, is there anything that you can clean up Active Directory as well?
So the question is, so when you delete a service template, you've got the automatically generated computer names. Is there anything you can do to script it, to clean up Active Directory, clean those things out? The answer is yes. I mean, there are scripts. Just about every step of the way in VMM, you have an opportunity to define a user-defined script. Post-install, pre-install, post-deployment, pre-deployment, so forth. So you can use those facilities in VMM to write whatever kind of scripts you want. Yes. The question was, can those be integrated into the delete action? The answer is yes. Sir?
Software, everything that you know might interfere, all in just ignore it.
And so the question is, if you're remotely packaging an application off of a server, is it best practice to uninstall or disable any kind of backup or antivirus software? On the sequencing machine, yes.
No, on the original.
On the original machine, it doesn't make a difference. Yeah. Our goal in designing the remote application packager was that we didn't want anybody to have to do anything special to the machine where the application was running. So you don't need to do anything there. Sir?
As an option, and obviously there would be some limitations if the application can support it. In terms of practical real-world experience and examples that you've seen, what kind of percentage of an application portfolio at stage do you see coming across? I know from talking to some of the other consultants about the desktop app, they're saying maybe 30 to 40% can be virtualized successfully. What are we seeing in the server stage?
And so is the question, what is the percentage of successfully virtualized applications that we see? From the customers that are using Server App V, it's actually rather high. I don't have an exact number, but I would guess 60 to 70%, maybe. And the reason is because most server applications that we see in the wild are built on top of those operating system subsystems that we do support. And did you have a secondary question about migration?
From 2003 specifically to 2012.
Yeah.
How much success rate you're seeing there? Because obviously we've got that timeline of end of life coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us have been thinking
about
that step across.
Yeah. So the question is, what kind of success rate do we see in migrating applications from older versions like 2003 to 2012? I really don't have any data on that because it's highly dependent on the application itself. As I mentioned before, the application would need to run on 2012 anyway. So you know, if the application wouldn't have run on 2012 and it would only run on 2003, you're not going to have good luck doing this with Server App V. I hope didn't kind of answer the question a little bit. I hope. Sorry, can you repeat the question? I caught half of it when I was walking over here.
Sorry. The application itself, I'm trying to make sure that when a user is going to get access to the web app, I want that name to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
How is that name resolution handled through deploying a new virtual machine under a new OS with patch levels and everything? Is that something that's done in the script for DNS configuration?
Okay. So the question is, if you're deploying new machines and you've got host names changing, how do you make sure that users have the same way to access the machine through DNS resolution and so forth, kind of. That's not handled at the server app V level or even at the machine level, really. VMM has some rather sophisticated networking capabilities that I think are where you're going to want to look to help you with that. I'm not an expert in that. There are a couple sessions coming up during this conference that speak specifically about VMM networking. That would probably be a good place to go for your answer, but unfortunately, I don't know. Anything else? Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that it, for remote packaging, that it can read out everything that in the add remote program.
Yep.
Could you go a little more in depth on how exactly it resolves what it needs to package?
Yes, that's a really good question. Actually, I meant to talk about that, so thank you. So the question was, I mentioned before that when you point the remote application packager at a machine to get the application off of it, it looks at add and remove programs. Going beyond that, how does that actually work? And that's a really good point. So the way it works is, first of all, an important limitation is that it only looks at MSIs, for example, MSI installations into add and remove programs. And so what it actually does is two different things. Number one, it will open up the MSI and parse through the application uninstallation data under the assumption that anything that would be uninstalled by the uninstallation action is probably an important piece of that application, and that's how we determine what needs to be pulled over as part of the application. So that's kind of step number one. Beyond that, there are some additional heuristics built into, you know, logic built into it to say, you know, usually these particular types of applications store files here, even though it's not in uninstall, we should look here. So there's some, declarative things that we look at in the MSI uninstall, and also some application-specific logic that we look at. We try to be smart there. I don't have more specifics than that.
Some a few years ago threw away all the cached MSIs. It won't work.
Yes. So the question is, if you've got an application that's been running for n number of years, it's accumulated all the state, and for some reason on the machine, the cached MSIs as part of add and remove programs are gone, will it not work? The answer is no, it will not. It needs to have that MSI there in order to figure out where to even get a starting point to figure out what files are needed for the application. Anything else? I'll be here for a couple minutes if nobody else has any other questions. Again, chris.baldwin@microsoft.com is my email if anything comes up later. I'll also be in the Modern Data Center booth throughout the week if you have any other things that come up and you want to talk to me about Server App V. Thanks.